Would you just lift your hands across the house to him? God, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, oh God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We magnify your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. Is anybody glad to be in church this morning? Amen. I'm thankful to be in this house again. If you have your Bibles and would turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Familiar portion of scripture, but I will tell you today is going to be different. I like to preach and holler and kick the devil in the face and have those type of services, but I felt something so different. In fact, I will be honest with you, it's out of my comfort zone of preaching, and that I feel like it's more of maybe teaching or preaching or a little bit of both, but I feel like God does have a very clear message for today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If you put your Bibles down, let's ask God to help us today. Humbly, I come before you, Jesus. I ask that you would use me as a vessel. I pray, God, open our hearts and our minds to hear your word. I pray, help us to leave different today, to leave changed, oh God, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, oh God. What a mighty God you are. Would you give him a hand clap of praise as you're seated today? Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk for a little bit on this subject. Why pray? Why do we pray? First off, let me just say that prayer in and of itself is not a requirement. God does not force us to pray. It's us that have the privilege and the opportunity to get to pray. It's a treasure that he's given us to be able to converse with the creator of the universe. If you think about it, talk about important. I mean, if we had access to the president, or we had access to the governor, or we had access to a rich businessman, we might feel like that was a special opportunity, but we're talking about an opportunity to talk with the creator of the universe, the God who is in control of everything. Prayer is one of the very principal reasons that we were even created. God created man to have a relationship with him, but it's our choice whether we're going to take the time to talk to our maker. It's our choice whether we are going to take this opportunity that has been handed to us and this such a special treasure, whether we're going to actually use it. You say, well, then why wouldn't everyone pray all the time? Because if I'm honest with you, I could tell you that prayer takes work. Prayer is not always fun. Prayer requires sacrifice and focus. But I would also tell you that prayer is the key to everything. Without prayer, you cannot make it to heaven. You say, wow, I've never heard that, preacher. That's a pretty bold statement. Can I tell you that the Bible says that without prayer, asking for forgiveness for our sins, we cannot make it into heaven if our sins have not been forgiven. How in the world do I get forgiveness for my sins? I pray to God Almighty and I ask for forgiveness, and he forgives my sin. We have the ability to control how we pray and also how effective our prayers are going to be. If we're only going to pray for 5 minutes a day, and the majority of that time is all spent, if not all of that time is spent on requests and what I need, that prayer is not going to be very effective. doesn't mean God doesn't hear it. It doesn't mean that it's not still praying. But can I be honest with you that if it's a self-focused prayer on just what I need and request, and that's all we do, and it's just a few minutes a day that we kind of give God just to keep our conscience clean, that's really not effective prayer. You say, but how do I pray for a long time? Because I can't hardly pray for a few minutes before I begin to just can't think of anything and my mind just is blank. I've been guilty of this so many times. So many times in my life, I would, especially when I was younger, I would come into prayer and thank God for parents that instilled it in us and that we went to the church, especially when I was in school. We lived around the corner and we went to the church every day before school, and there was times I would be tired and maybe fall asleep even in early morning prayer before school. But I remember praying, and there was times I would seemingly run out of things to pray for, and it would just be, man, I can't think of anything. But as my life has went on, and through times of really, if I was truthful, hardship, and times of having to get a hold of God, I began to realize there's a process to how we should pray. There's more to it than just simply coming in his house and asking him for all the things that I need. And what I want to talk about today is really just scratching the surface. I'm not even going into all of it. And if you want to know more, get with Pastor. There's books that go so much deeper into this topic. And I believe that the deeper you go, the more you begin to realize how much you don't know and how much farther we can go in prayer. But I just want to lightly scratch the surface on some of this that has became a part of what I'm about. It now has consumed me, and I felt as I was thinking about this, in fact, before Pastor even asked me to preach it, it's just been on my mind, this concept of prayer. And some people may say, well, I already know all that. I already know how to pray. Well, it may not be for you. Maybe it is, but can I be honest with you that even studying and putting this together, there were some things that I was reminded of, some things that I had studied before and kind of really tried to grasp, but then now I felt like I got a new grip on it. But somebody, I feel like, needs to hear this today. There's different types of prayer, and every one of these categories have a purpose. Jesus' disciples, the ones that walked with him, that saw him do miracles, that were a part of his life for his ministry, even they asked him, will you teach us how to pray? Now, to me, that's an interesting statement, because if you had walked with Jesus and you had seen him doing all these miracles and all these things, you would think that they would know what that looked like. But you see, prayer is individual. Prayer can be collective. We can collectively all pray as we just did for some needs, but there's times that really, when we want to tap into prayer, it's something individualized. It's something that the Bible says Jesus would steal away and pray. He would go to a quiet place. He would go away from the crowds, away from the people, and he would begin to pray. And so his disciples said, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? Because we know that you're not going to always be here. We know that at some point we're going to have to learn to pray on our own. So will you teach us the method to prayer? Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, and as it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, this is Jesus was praying, when he ceased or when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Is John also taught his disciples? And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew's account, another disciple of Jesus, in Matthew 6, verse 9 says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I have been around people that will repeat this prayer every day. That is, they're just reciting it every day, and that's good. I'm not saying you can't do that, but this is a concept Jesus has given us. He's saying that if you're going to pray, the very first concept is that we acknowledge him. We say, our Father, which is in heaven. We start out our prayer getting our attention in the right spot. It's on him. It's my focus of my prayer time is not on someone else, but it is on my Father, which is in heaven. And his name is hallowed. It's reverent. There's something special and powerful about his name. And God, I want your will, and I want your kingdom to prosper on earth as it is in heaven. After I've focused my attention on him, now I say, God, will you give me this day my daily bread? Will you sustain my needs today? And by the way, will you forgive me as I begin to forgive all those that have trespassed against me? And keep me from temptation and evil, because you have the power and all glory. It's a concept of prayer that if we really want to pray effectively, we first must keep Jesus at the focal point of our prayer. He's really what it's all about. We've got to keep his kingdom at the top of the priorities. We've got to keep what's going to prosper the kingdom. What's going to make his will happen here on earth? That's what my prayer focus should be. But I found an acronym that I had actually never heard, and I thought it was a good way to remember these steps to prayer. And it's simply ACTS, like the Acts of the Apostles, like where we get our roots from, where this church that we're a part of that started on the day of Pentecost. It really, Jesus started this church way back in the beginning of time, but we focus and we pattern after the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles. So it was an easy acronym I felt like to remember. But A is first of all for adoration. You say, what is that? That's giving God praise for who he really is and how amazing and how mighty and how powerful our God really is. I'm adoring him. I'm taking time to say, God, you are the most important one in my life. You are the most powerful. You are the most mighty. And I'm so thankful to know you. Praise, by the way, just a side note, is a requirement. It's not something that we get to just choose whether we want to do. Psalms 150 and verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It doesn't leave any exceptions. It doesn't leave anybody out. It says if you've got breath in your body, it is a responsibility and a command to praise him. So I start out my prayer time by praising him, by adoring him, by worshiping him. Then I go to confession. It's repentance every day. I search my heart and I say, God, will you forgive me for anything that's been displeasing to you? Anything that I've done that you're not pleased with? Oh, God, will you forgive me? I begin to confess to him my faults. I begin to say, God, will you help me how inadequate I am? God, I've failed you. I've messed up. God, I need forgiveness. Then I begin to thank him. I begin to thank him for all the many things he's done for me, all his blessings. This ought to be the longest part of our entire prayer time with him. You say, I can't think of a lot of things to give him thanks for. I run out of things quickly. It's because we forget. It's because as humans, we take things for granted. We forget about the miracles that he did last month. We forget about last year's healing. We forget about our backslidden family members that came back to God 10 years ago. We forget about the financial blessings we had last year when we couldn't pay the bills and somehow God paid the light bill. We forget about all that. And so what I've done, And I would encourage anybody to do, is begin to build a list. Just begin to, in your mind, go through everything you can think of and write it down. If you just commit it to your mind, or at least if I do, I'll forget it by tomorrow. I'll forget half of what I thought and conjured up. But if I'll just write it down, And I'll make notes and I'll say, God, I thank you for the time that you healed me here. I thank you for this blessing. And then as I begin to think about this every day, and as I'm praying and taking time to thank him for all his blessings, I add to that list. And I will tell you, you will be so surprised how long that list really is. When you begin to look at all the blessings of God every day, he saved you from that accident. He saved you from what could of that fire that could have taken you out. You look back and you think, wow, God, you've been so good to me. This ought to be the focal point of our prayer, is thanking him for his blessings and his mercy. And after all of that, after I've put him first and I've focused all my attention and efforts on him, I reach the point of supplication. And this is where I bring my needs to him. And I say, God, you're all-knowing, you're almighty, and you already know what I need before I'm even going to ask you. But your word says that I'm to ask you for it. And so I bring my needs to you, and I say, God, I need this miracle. I need this family member saved. I need this. And I begin to lay out my needs to him. But if you notice, it's at the end of the list. It's after I've already praised him. It's after I've already asked for forgiveness. It's after I've already thanked him that now I come to him humbly, but with confidence, asking that these needs be met. 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Can I tell you that we make things difficult in the supplication category? In the supplication category, we make it difficult and convoluted, because many times we expect God to be just a vending machine. We expect that, God, after all, I did the other steps, I did all the other things, so now, God, you're obligated to give me what I'm asking for. And we begin to use these scriptures that we like, such as Psalms 37 and 4, that says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Matthew 7 and 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. John 14, 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And these are all true. The Bible is 100% true. And it does not contradict itself. I know that critics of the Bible say that verses will contradict themselves. I have never found that in my entire life. Every time I've thought something contradicted, it just meant there was a deeper connection. It just meant that there was another verse somewhere that I hadn't connected the dots to. This Bible, from front to back, all aligns equally. It all comes together. But there's more to it than just asking. God doesn't give us everything that we just ask him for. You say, preacher, I'm confused. You just read verses where Jesus himself said, whatever we ask, he will give. I saw a mug the other day. I was listening to a Christian podcast, and they put out a mug that a preacher that had preached at their church, he said this line, and they thought, wow, that's fitting. So they made a coffee mug that they sell in their coffee shop, and it said, I can do all things with a verse taken out of context. I can do anything if I can just get a verse and twist it. And that's what we do. We can take a single verse in the Bible and we'll begin to twist it to fit our agenda. We'll begin to take a verse and say, well, God, you said that anything I ask, you're going to do it. And we'll take that verse and try and twist it to our advantage. That's why I've had critics that have said, well, you guys just take Acts 38, 238, and you run with it. You think that's the only verse in the Bible that matters. No, they're wrong. I can back it up with verse after verse after verse that supports every single part of that verse. I can find where repentance is in the Bible. I can find where baptism's in the Bible. I can find where the Holy Ghost is in the Bible. It's not just one verse. But if we were to just take one verse, my question to someone would be, what does it take for salvation then? Is it like Romans 10:13 where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Because even in that chapter, It contradicts itself if you're only going to take one verse. Because two verses earlier in verse 9 it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's two verses apart. How in the world can you look at these verses and say, which one do I believe? Then if I go on to what Jesus said, Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Which one do I believe? This is what happens when we take one verse. Talk about confusing. This is what happens when we begin to extract one verse out of the Bible and try and use it to justify. We have to be careful. That's why there's a thing called context. There's a concept that we take a verse and we believe it and we're excited about it. But we find out what's behind that verse. What verses support that verse? What verses are around that verse? What verses are making that verse so powerful to me? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little." It all ties together. It all links together. The Bible builds on itself. The Bible is linked from Old Testament to New. That's why this church, you will never find where we toss out the Old Testament and say it's not relevant. Can I tell you, the New Testament is just the fulfillment and continuation of the Old Testament. It's all still the Word of God. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." I didn't come to get rid of the law. I didn't come to toss out the Old Testament. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus himself said, don't throw it out. It's still good. If it worked back then, it works now. It's still the Word of God. And the Bible says it lasts forever. The Word of God is from beginning to end. It never ends. It's everlasting. So when I look back at prayer, and we see that when we make our request to God, we do so fully believing that He is going to answer that prayer. But there's a very critical ingredient that must be in our prayers. That same verse I read to you, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," and then this phrase, "according to his will, he heareth us." Psalms 37 and 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." But the next verse says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." All of our requests, all of our supplications have to be subject to His will. It's whatever His will is. Because if we just got everything that we asked for, we'd be in trouble. God loves us too much to give us everything exactly as we request it. Thankfully, it's so. Because imagine if you had gotten everything you'd ever asked for. There might be someone you'd be married to right now that you had wished you had never asked for. A teenager, you're in church and you're praying, "Oh God, she's the one or he's the one, and I just have to have them. Will you give them to me?" Well, you find out later that you're really glad God didn't answer that prayer. God, I want this house. Oh God, give me this house. And then that house burns down a year later. I'm thankful God didn't give me the house. God does not always give us exactly what we're asking for if it isn't within His will. It requires it being subject to His will. Whenever it aligns with His will and we say, "Oh God, let it be according to your will, whatever your will is. God, I feel like I need this so bad. I feel like it's a need that is just insurmountable, but God, let it be according to your will. If you don't think I need it, then I don't want it. If you don't think that it's necessary, then God, please don't grant it." I'll give you probably the most incredible example of this is in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. This is Jesus. And it says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." A couple verses later, it says in verse 42, he went again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." I am so thankful today that the man Christ Jesus, when he was wrapped in this body of flesh, that God did not let him have his will. I am so thankful that the will of that body that he was wrapped in, that did not want to go through the torture and the agony of the cross. I am so thankful that God did not spare him, because had he not died on a cross, you and I could not be saved. I am so thankful that God did not give him what he asked for. His will is the only way that we are ever going to be truly satisfied. But we've got to remember, and I know this is a lot, I'm just throwing it out there, and like I said, there's books and studies that can be done on this more, but there's two different types of prayer requests that we make to God. There's memorial prayers that stack up as a memorial every day before God. The Bible talks about Cornelius when his prayers and his alms, his giving, was stacking up before God to the point an absolute impossibility happened for Cornelius. It was a miracle that could not be done. There is no way possible, according to the law, that it could be done. And Cornelius received salvation and unlocked a door that you and I are benefiting from today because of a memorial prayer that had been stacked up every day before God. And then there's those urgent prayers that are right now answers. They're answers I need right now. There's not time to stack them up for a memorial. The difficult part about this is that we don't get to pick which category our prayers fall into. God does that. We feel every prayer needs to be answered right now, and we should. We feel like if we're praying for our lost loved one, they need to be saved today, and they do. We feel like if we need a financial blessing, that God needs to do it today, because after all, it's crumbling and it's falling apart. Whatever the case is, we feel like everything is urgent. We feel like, God, we need it today, right now. And we should pray expecting and trusting that he's going to do it right now. Because what if he does? What if he says, that's an urgent prayer, I'm answering it right now. You were praying and boom, I answered it. It happens. But if he chooses to wait, he's going to let it build up as a memorial. The hard part about that is when we're praying our prayers urgently, and day after day, they still haven't been answered. Day after day, those prayers are, you know that God's hearing them. You know that they're stacking up. And see, the devil will capitalize on this moment. He will lie to you and tell you God isn't hearing your prayers because you're praying them urgently. You're praying them because you need an answer and God hasn't responded. So after all, God's not even listening to your prayers. No, let me tell you, he's making them into a memorial. The Bible says that if he pays attention to the little sparrows that fall out of a tree, surely he's paying attention to his child. But we can lose our faith in this moment because we're urgently saying, God, I need a miracle right now. And sometimes he doesn't do it. Sometimes it's because he loves us enough to know that if he did that miracle, we might lose out with him. We might lose our salvation over what we think is an actual blessing. It's hard to think about that, but it's true. What happens when we pray? As we're praying, you see there's things changing in the atmosphere. In the spirit world, and the things that we can't see and we can't understand, there's action happening. As we begin to cry out with God, I have experienced this firsthand. When I'm alone in a place in church or at home, but especially even when I'm in church alone praying, there's no one else here. And somehow you tap into that heavenly realm and all of a sudden there's supernatural strength that begins to fill you. And it doesn't make sense. It can't be explained, the peace that comes. And you begin to feel God fill that situation that you're in. Doesn't mean that your problems are necessarily going to go away. That's what I see. We look at that and we say, well, if God's here and I can feel his presence and I can feel his strength, why doesn't he just take away the problem? It's because sometimes he gives us strength to go through it. Sometimes he doesn't deliver us from a burning fiery furnace, but rather we have to go through it and feel the flames and feel the heat. But he can take a moment of distress and anxiety and chaos, and he can bring peace into it. When we get a hold of God, that's when chains are broken. That's when burdens are lifted. And you say, preacher, I don't feel anything when I pray. It's because you haven't broken into that spiritual realm yet. When we come in here and we sit down and we kind of say a quick prayer, but our mind's all over the place. And it's just, we're thinking of this and that. Hey, we haven't penetrated into that barrier. You haven't reached and got into that realm where you've got that one-on-one connection. We're still living down here where we all operate and live at. But can I tell you, as you begin to try and pierce that layer, as you begin to try and connect with him in such a place that you get lost, there's going to be forces of evil all around you that are going to try and stop you. Yeah, as you try and pray, and the harder you try and focus on God and try and zero in on your prayer, can I tell you, you'll be reminded of everything. You'll be reminded of the floor that needs to be vacuumed, and the car that needs an oil change, and the groceries that need to be bought, and the kids' homework that night. Oh, can I tell you, he'll throw everything. The devil will try and get you distracted. He couldn't care less what you're distracted about. As long as you're not praying, as long as you're not connecting with God, it takes extreme focus. If we're going to reach him, if we're going to actually get a hold of him, it takes focus to zero in our attention on him. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It requires work. It requires, as I'm praying and the devil's trying to distract me and my flesh is trying to distract me. And boy, if you come pray before you eat in the morning, be ready. Your stomach's going to try and get you focused on bacon and eggs. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to focus on God. And it, as I begin to do that, I've got to grab my thoughts that are trying to stray everywhere and bring them into captivity, so that I can pray. It's a war. Prayer is really a war. And I've got to keep my focus and attention. Otherwise, I end up wasting all my prayer time on things that are just distractions. I've done it. I have literally been in church praying for an hour and probably only really prayed about 10 minutes. Because the rest of the time, my mind's just all over the place. My mind's thinking about everything I got to do today, everything I did yesterday. My mind's just thinking about the birthday party that's coming at the end of the week and the events that are happening. My mind's all over the place. And so really, I only prayed about 10 minutes. I really only gave God about 10 minutes. But I say, well, I prayed for an hour. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. I'm hurrying. As we pray, after we're done praying, we open his word. And this is where God speaks to us. Prayer was designed, and a relationship with God was designed to be a two-way communication. We've done all the talking to this point. To this point, and it's good. We're supposed to thank him. We're supposed to praise him. We're supposed to bring our needs to him. But we've been doing all the talking. And I promise you, if you will pray in the proper sequence, if you'll do all that, and then if you'll open your Bible and just begin to read, can I promise you, God will talk to you. But see, God doesn't get an opportunity to talk to us when we're doing all the talking. Whenever we're the ones always talking to him, he can't get a word in. But as we begin to read his word, we've got our mind right now. Now all of a sudden when I read his word, I emptied my soul in prayer and my focus is on him. And now when I read it, things begin to seem to jump off the page. And I find that there's a message in that for me. There's something in that verse that I've read 100 times, but today it was different. Today there was a message and God speaks. He speaks. You say, well, how does he speak? Audibly? No, it can happen. But that's not usually how it is. He impresses on you. There's a thought that comes that you know is different. You know you're not smart enough to think that up. You know that your brain didn't conjure that up, that it's something different about that thought. There's something that's a message tied to it. And as I read that verse, it just hits me like, wow, that's right where I'm at, God. You knew exactly what I needed today. The greatest blessing you and I can ever have, above any physical, above any financial blessing, would be a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about just a casual, once in a while, kind of sort of friends relationship. I'm talking about that deep, intimate relationship where God can just kind of nudge you and you respond and say, God, what do you want? I'm talking about when he can whisper. He doesn't have to yell and get our attention with loud things that really shake us up and say, okay, God, I'm ready to listen. No, when he can just whisper, seemingly, and we pay attention. That's where I want to be. I want to strive to be in that kind of relationship with him to the point that I'm walking with him throughout the day. I leave my prayer time, if you will, at church, and as I'm driving down the road, I'm saying, God, I thank you. You're just in communication. It's just all the day. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That's what it's talking about. Just connected. You're connected with him throughout the day. That's what I want. And it's like any other relationship. As you begin to talk with him and you begin to be intimate with Jesus, can I tell you, he's going to start to reveal what he likes and doesn't like about your life. There's going to be some things you find out that he's not pleased with. There's going to be some things that he says, I want you to do that you may not have even seen before, but now that you're walking with him, now that you're praying, now that you're seeking him, you start to realize, okay, that's what I need to do to please him. And if we could all stand as I get ready to close. This is what I felt so strongly. If this church is ever going to reach this city, we're going to have to get into prayer. I believe that wholeheartedly, if this church will dig into prayer, we're going to see the supernatural take place. I'm talking about, I've watched this happen. When first-time guests, they open the door, and before they can even find a seat, they're already moved by the Spirit of God that's in this place. God's everywhere. We know that. This is his house. But when there's a spirit of prayer in the house, sinners, they're overcome by it. I'm talking about when backsliders and hard cases come, and they go to sit down, and they're already softened. And next thing you know, they're in an altar. I'm talking about people getting the Holy Ghost in pre-service prayer. I'm talking about miracles, signs, and wonders happening. It's not for our church's glory. It's not to put real life church on the map. But I'm talking about when a sinner sees Joe that was in a wheelchair and he came to church and he left walking. That's what I'm talking about happens whenever we begin to pray. I wonder if this week, this church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for prayer. If you need an access code, see me after church. But I wonder if we could, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, between you and God. But I wonder if you would make up in your mind that this week, I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day, I'm coming by this church. I don't care if it's midnight. You can come at 3 a.m. and it'll be just fine. There may not be somebody else here, but there'll be prayer music playing. And there'll be prayer requests scrolling on this screen 24/7. And if you run out of things to pray for, start praying for the things on the screen. Start praying for us, because can I tell you, church, if we can get a hold of prayer, God wants to pour out his Spirit into this place. Oh, this is supposed to happen. Oh, yeah. Miracles were not just for the Book of Acts church. Miracles were not supposed to just happen in the Bible. But we've got to pray if we want to see it happen. We've got to dig back into the Word if we want to see it happen. Would you just lift your hands and ask him right now, God, would you cultivate in me a spirit of prayer? Would you begin to draw me to a spirit of prayer today? Oh, God, I pray, let it fall. Let there be a spirit of prayer that falls in this house right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let it be, oh God, right now.
I wonder if there's anybody that would come up to around the front and join me right now. God has spoken to our hearts. We need to bind together as a church and say, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to draw closer to God in prayer. Would you do that? Would you come up and just join me around the front and begin to talk to God and say, God, help me to learn to pray. Help me to be a prayer warrior. Oh, God, help me to break through the flesh. To learn to draw close to you. Oh, would you seek him with all of your heart right now? Call upon him right now. We need him today.
Running after me. Your goodness is running after me.